From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, folks. It's a Friday edition of Locked On Chiefs, and yes, it's the offseason, but we're not going anywhere, so keep your ears peeled. We will have shows for you all summer long. They might be a little more hit or miss, depending on vacations and whatever, but we're going to keep doing it. I'm Ryan.
We're not going anywhere, but you're going somewhere next week.
Yes. Again, if any of you are hanging out or live in Los Angeles, I'm going to be there for the week. Love to meet up with anybody one of the nights that I'm there. So drop me a line through the Twitter account or my personal one at Ryan Tracy NFL, and maybe we can get something done. But you know where to find me. You know that I'm the founder of Rogue Analytics, and that's my role here, as well as trying to help Chris produce content for the LockedOnChiefs.com. And the newest outlet, our RGR Football YouTube channel. It's going great. You guys have been awesome, and I appreciate that. If you haven't checked it out yet, there'll be a link in the show notes.
And be sure to check it out. It is a great deal for Ryan to be able to do the video, and he's doing a great job with that. So thank you very much for doing that. And thank you for all the iTunes reviews. We've had a couple more come in over the past couple of days. Really appreciate those as well.
Yeah, it's fun time of year, right? Like, we can take a deep breath and talk about stuff that we know are now certainties rather than all this question about the draft, right? And before I go any farther, yes, as we recorded this morning, the news about Derek Johnson is out, and there's something that's one more question mark, but the Chiefs clearly were ready to move on. I don't know that he's going to make a roster or get an offer. He hasn't at this point, and if we hear, we'll let you know. But remember, the Chiefs moved on from him because they felt that he couldn't bring what they needed any longer. And let's not hold it against Derek if he does decide to sign with somebody like Oakland or somewhere else, and just move on with what the Chiefs need to look at.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that we actually have something to talk about, because it was my thought that we wouldn't.
You know, you would think, but man, I tell you, the first thing that happens the week after the draft, all these fifth-year options come due, and I don't know if it's a record or not. I'd have to go look it up, and I'm just not that motivated to do it, but there's a lot of fifth-round options that are not being picked up this particular class.
Yep. 12 of them.
Is it 12? Okay. Wow.
The Patriots hold two of the players that are not getting picked up, which include Danny Shelton, and maybe they have three of the players, and Philip Dorsett, who they traded for.
That's just crazy. I mean, that's the whole point of this part of the CBA, is to make it so that you can retain your talent. But quite honestly, this is a class that really has kind of fallen short. And I kind of want to draw the comparison to this class that just got drafted last weekend. I kind of feel like in 4 years, it's going to be the same situation. So a couple of things that stand out to me. And
Kansas City won't have to make that choice, though.
No. At least they're out of that sweepstakes.
At least not right now.
Right, right. I think that's a plus. But, you know, a couple that stand out, Kevin White, the Bears receiver, who was – I was very high on coming out. Everybody kind of thought he was going to be the number one receiver out of this class. You know, right now, this season, he's going to play for Matt Nagy, see what comes of it. But they're not locking down their option to keep him.
Has he even played a full season?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Has he even played a full season of games? And I don't mean a full season. I mean like a full, like 16 games.
I think he has gone over the 16 game mark, but it took two seasons to do it. I'll look it up right now while you're talking.
Well, I'm not so sure it didn't take three seasons.
It could have.
I just know he's been really hurt. Injury is not something that you can usually plan for, but yeah, that's been a bad one.
Yeah, that's tough.
He's not been good in that regard.
And, you know, another guy that I liked coming out, but, you know, he was always kind of a question mark. And that's Laken Tomlinson, offensive guard. He's overly tall. There was always going to be a battle for him, but he is not getting picked up either. He will be available, and I don't know if you think you can maybe reform him, but it's something to keep an eye on eventually.
I'm trying to remember. Is he a Lion?
I do believe. Yes, the Detroit Lions. He was the 28th pick overall that year. So, you know, and I think I think probably the one that got the most notice, and I said this days ago when Bradley Chubb got drafted into Denver, and I told you then, this is the end of Shane Ray. You can see him available for the Chiefs as a free agent next season. And they came through. They did not take his option. I don't know why you would. He's been not very productive for them. Kind of a disappointment. I think his heart's probably still in Kansas City. He's a Missouri guy. He's got an arrowhead on his chest, for God's sake. So I have to think when free agency hits, he's got to have at least some interest in coming to Kansas City, and maybe as a backup, he can be helpful.
And he would have to give him a hometown discount because I don't think they're going to be willing to spend that much money on him.
I think he's market anyway.
Well, but pass rushers usually do, regardless of how good they are. Mm. We'll see. And honestly, it really depends on what they do with D Ford in the end. As much as I hate to say that.
And I'm going to hold my tongue because I think I know where that's going to go, but I'm not going to say something tonight that someone's going to yell at me about in 6 months. So
why not? That's the fun of it, isn't it?
It's not that fun for me, no. Because, you know, the whole Travis Kelce thing, and that's, I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh, but that was fun.
Shut it.
No, it was fun.
For you and for Matt, that was great.
Great.
Enough.
Fantastic.
Well, that brings us to the Chiefs option that they also passed on for Cameron Irving. How do you read that situation?
You know what I really want to know, and the thing I don't know right now, is what that option would have cost them.
9.6.
Okay, and see, that's a little different than what I thought it was. I thought it was 6 or 7 million. And I said on Twitter, I think you could argue either way on this one. It may be cut and dry to you, and it may be cut and dry to a lot of people, but to me, it's not. And I will admit, I didn't come up with this. This is from Jeff Schwartz, but I think he makes a fantastic point. The Chiefs went out and spent a draft pick on a defensive tackle to move to left guard, or to move to guard, because that is how bad the offensive linemen are that are coming out of in college.
And that's fair.
And I agree with him. I'm not saying they're all horrible, but the quality of offensive linemen is so down because of the way that the offensive game plans are going in college football. So.
But that's not a reason to give a reserve backup a contract, even for one season, at $9.6 million.
It's not guaranteeing him a contract anything for anything other than injury.
I understand that.
So
I'm not saying the guarantee is the problem. I'm saying paying a guy that. If he's healthy and he sits on the bench, probably where he belongs, at this point anyway, if we saw what we saw last season, you're still paying $9.6 million to a guy who isn't performing for you.
I'm not saying that they would pay him. I'm simply saying that if they gave him, if as long as he was healthy next year, it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, yeah, it's a gamble, but the gamble is that he's going to be healthy and he could play, because that $9.6 million is only there if he gets hurt. If they could still cut him. That was the same thing with D Ford. They could have cut him if D Ford was healthy, but he wasn't healthy.
Right, but if you're giving that guy the option, you're not cutting him. And if he's your starter, then I have no problem with it. But if he hasn't ascended to that point, then there's no reason. Because check out these numbers.
But you don't know that he's not going to be your starter.
I think you do.
You think he's not going to get a chance to start this year?
I think he'll have a chance to compete. But at this point, you've seen him for 2 weeks in OTAs. He's had his whole offseason. He's not going to change a whole lot outside of mini camps and OTAs and that 6 week span you get before training camp. I mean, if he was going to do work that was going to change his performance on the field, it's done by now.
No, and so, I agree with that. I agree with that aspect. All I'm saying is that you're not really going to know that much about offensive linemen until you actually get the pads on and let them hit. So
that's a fair point, but listen to these numbers. 5.3, 1.3, 800, 700. even with Reggie McKenzie, and we don't know what his number's slotted at yet, you add up all the other guys that are competing at guard, and they still don't match up to 9.6.
It's Khalil McKenzie.
You know, his actual name is Reginald. And I know he's trying to differentiate himself from his dad, but I just can't do it. I'm sorry. I'll try to remember Khalil, but it's his middle name.
Well, fine, but
I'm
just saying he goes by Khalil, and you called him Reggie.
I know. Khalil, if we meet face to face, I get it. You can be angry.
And I would not want to be face to face with him angry at me.
I'm guessing I can outrun him. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But my point is, even with his contract, all the other guards wrapped up together do not equal 9.6. So unless he is like far and away, you're sure he's your left guard that's going to start this season, I can't see picking up that option either.
And you were completely ignoring what I said. It is not a guaranteed contract for 2019. It's only guaranteed for injury. They could still cut him. This way you have him on. This way you do not lose him if he does become a starter. That is my main point on all of it. Yeah, you're taking a risk, but you know what? With the offensive line play the way it's been, and your concern about left guard, I would think it would be a risk that you would be willing to take, because generally speaking, most players are going to be healthy 6 months after the season ends, or 3 months after the season ends.
You'd hope.
I mean, it's a risk, yes, but I would have understood it.
Well, I'm glad you would have. I think we're just going to leave it as a disagreement, because I'm not going to convince you and you're not going to convince me. So that brings us – actually, let's take a break.
I think you're just salty because D Ford is getting his option and you don't think he should. But that's me.
That's not necessarily true, but –
But let's you're not take a denying second. It either.
I'm not denying it either. I just actually haven't really thought about it because it was out of my hands. I knew he wasn't going to be healthy, so it was what it was. But let's take a second. When we come back, we're going to talk about this trade. So Wednesday, the Chiefs pulled off something that, you know, normally does not really go on this time of year. Post-draft trade with old buddy John Dorsey. And it's a little baffling. At first, when you think about the level of the guys that are being traded, and it is Daddy Nicholas, outside linebacker, for Teffler. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I think so. But to me, it didn't baffle me at all when I looked at it. I mean, as soon as I saw it, I understood why they did it. But
well, and I think after reflection, I think I know exactly where they're going with it too. But at the time, my point is that this level of trade is not something you see at this point in the year. So that's what I mean by it was baffling. But when you're trading,
I would almost disagree. I would think that this would be the time that you would see this type of trade, because it gives both players a chance to compete in OTAs, mini camps, and training camp, and maybe you wouldn't see a trade, but you'd see cut more than likely. Right. In this case, they get the best of both worlds because they get a player each of them want.
Right. Well, and Dorsey gets a guy that he drafted. Yep. That makes it clear to me that was a Dorsey selection. It was not a group think. It was not, like consensus, like they like to make you think all the time. And in return, they get a reserve tight end that played 300 snaps last season. Not a big pass catcher. And so the takeaways for me, and why don't you start? What's your first takeaway from that trade?
Well, my first takeaway from it is that I disagree with you. I don't think that it says it was necessarily just a Dorsey pick. I get where you're coming from, but I would say that the scouting room has changed enough to where it's possible that there were more people that liked him, but he hasn't panned out here. And it looks like they're making a defensive shift that they never started before they drafted him. So to me, I think it could go a different direction. I just think they're trying to get larger at offensive. I think they're trying to get larger at outside linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, this is a throwback to the Tomba days.
Yep. Because at this point, I mean, that's the only thing that really makes sense. because it doesn't make sense why you would get rid of your best pure speed rusher.
Yeah, and that's what really stood out to me too. Is he got hurt in his rookie season. He didn't have a chance to play last year. It's been kind of a tough road for him. But I don't know. I don't think that that's necessarily panning out. Like, I don't know if they don't feel he's going to recover and that's why they wanted to move on, or if it's just this thing.
And the other side of it is you don't get rid of a pass rusher for a reserve tight end.
Right. And that's what's got me thinking that it's just not in the plan. And like you said, if they want to be more aggressive, more power oriented, more strong at the point of attack, like we've been talking about forever, Justin Houston is the only outside linebacker on this roster right now that can set the edge. So it makes sense, but it just makes me cringe a little bit, because the one thing that this team does not have right now is a guy that can get around the edge with speed. And when Tom Brady's taking like 2.18 seconds a throw like he did last season, that has me a bit nervous.
Well, and I get it. I mean, it is concerning, but at the same time, you're not going to get to Tom Brady in 2 seconds. It doesn't matter if you're doing a speed rush. There's the only way you're getting to Tom Brady in that instance is if you're doing interior pressure.
Yeah, and maybe that helps drawing the beef outside. Maybe that does help the interior rush.
Maybe. I'm just saying you're not going to disrupt Tom Brady or any QB that is only holding the ball for 2 seconds, even with an inside rush or even with a speed rush on the outside. They may have to step up a little bit, but it's not going to disrupt. It's not going to be a huge deal. Yeah. There's just not enough time to get to the QB that quick.
And that's a fair point. You know, I would like to see how this is going to pan out, because you have Dee Ford, who, despite not having the greatest bend or much bend at all, and he's not a speed rusher, he's just got a great get off. But that's all there is. And now you have Tomáš Pastrňák, that's power. Breland Speaks, that's power. You know, Frank Zombo, he's a fill-in, so I don't even think I want to consider him a pass rusher at this point. I don't know how you feel, but.
Well, so let me throw a curveball at you. What if we have assumed this whole offseason that their thought process is going to be that Dee Ford is going to be a starter? What if we're wrong?
We could be.
What if they're looking at it as, and obviously they didn't have Speaks before, but what if they're thinking now that Speaks will be their starter and Dee Ford will be their rotational guy and be their NASCAR package type?
Well, and that's what I think is probably most likely in terms of doing what needs to be done, because I think Speaks, just by virtue of size, is going to be better at setting the edge. I think Ford is still going to be able, somebody who can produce pass rush so long as he's healthy, because this is the other thing that I thought. What if he really isn't healthy? What if they're not sure he can make it to training camp? What if they're not sure they're going to have him for the season?
Those are all questions that we don't have answers to, and we're not going to have answers to until OTAs start, right, and we start getting reports from camp. So, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, with the way that it looks like they're making things on the defensive side of the ball, it just looks like they're trying to get larger at outside linebacker. And to me, that just means a shift in the way they're going to do things. And I think that what you're going to find in the next year or two is that they're going to be looking for another outside linebacker to pair with Speaks on the other side that has the ability to do a little bit of speed rush. Speaks might not be able to, but I'm pretty sure they'll be looking for another one or two.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, Justin Houston is not getting younger. Eventually you have to be able to replace him, or you risk taking a big step back.
But then the other side of that doesn't that kind of take your thought process earlier of maybe bringing in Shane Ray out of the question, because he's not really going to be that guy?
Well, he's more speed than he is power. And if he's, you know, if he's a guy who's not going to get much more than, you know, a vet man or prove it kind of deal, I think it's worth having him as a backup.
Well, but if their defense is being shifted to more outside linebackers that are larger and they can set the edge, because I don't see Shane Ray being that guy that can really set that outside edge.
No, I agree with you completely. I think he's exactly like Ford. It's, third down, pin your ears back, try to use that speed rush when you know they're not going to run at you.
Right. So to me, that says that he doesn't really fit what they would want to do. So I don't know that they would bring him in. I could be wrong. I mean, obviously, it's a possibility. We'll see. Now, the other side of the ball, so we've talked ad nauseum at this point about Dee Ford and the trade of Daddy Nicholas. So don't you think that this really kind of also probably means something for the tight end group and what they're going to do there?
Yeah. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back in just a second and talk about that. So, like you said, on the other side of the ball, I'm trying not to get too excited because I think you know where I'm going with reading into trading for a blocking tight end.
Well, I already know where you're going, and I already said it on Twitter before you even got a chance to probably see that they're doing the trade is that you're going to be giddy because this gives them more of the smash mouth type of football.
Yeah, I mean, this is
ability.
Yeah, ability. This is a guy that you don't have to rely on to catch the ball. You don't have to get him out in patterns and try to spread everybody out. This is a guy you can line up in line next to the tackles, let Travis Kelce still stay on the field and be elsewhere, maybe split out wide, which I would like to see more of, and still be able to run the ball with some power. And I can't help but see this move as a bit of Eric Bieniemy's influence on what Andy Reid is planning to do in 2018.
Could just be what Eric Bieniemy wants to do and what Andy Reid wants to have the option of doing. Just because they're bringing him in doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be, the guy that's going to be doing or going to be on the field a lot. I mean,
I agree with you. I think it's just worth exploring at this point, right? But just
you're just excited because you want to see more power. And this gives them the option of it.
Exactly. And I have to think that by even though you're trading a player that maybe you don't think fits your scheme anymore, just by making a transaction like that, it means to me that the enemy's done enough talking to Reed that Reed's done enough talking to Veach to try and do something with it.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's also just Andy Reed looking at his tight end group and going saying, maybe Demetrius Harris isn't going to be on this group. Maybe it's going to be Jason Morrow. Morrow's not much of a blocker. Harris isn't much of a blocker, but I think Harris is a better blocker than Morrow was. This gives him options to keep a real blocking tight end for those bigger sets.
Yeah, and it feeds back into the thing we were talking about, the Veach's overall idea of getting stronger, tougher, more aggressive, and more nasty.
Yep. And those are all good things. And I think they're going to work on getting that way on both sides of the ball. I think that's kind of how their offseason is going.
And I will be happier than anything I can say that's not on a podcast.
Yeah. You gotta watch the language.
Right?
Little kids.
We are still safe for work right now.
Yeah.
Well, folks, let's leave you with the optimism here, not just on my part, but in general.
I think we have one little more thing to talk about. Yep. Did you see the new changes for the kickoffs?
I did not.
They are going to have to all line up within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, I believe. All but maybe three players on the receiving end.
Okay.
The thought process and the quote from Dave Tobe specifically, because he was one of the special teams coaches that was in the room for the discussion, was that it'll be more like punts because players are running down the field together, so you won't have as big of collisions running the entire field trying to, head down. And
right. And is there a provision for, eliminating the wedge as well, right?
Yeah, it's no longer a two-man wedge.
Okay. Well, hey, so, I think that's all positive stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that should be a move in the right direction. The only thing is, and this is something that I saw a couple of people talk about on Twitter, it sucks. Chris Conley, I hate that that his injury would get thrown into this discussion, but I guess it will just because it did happen in onside. But his injury wasn't really onside related. I mean, it was more of a attacking relation as opposed to getting in a collision, from what I remember.
He could have run that out on a nine route too.
Yeah. So, but that's my point. I mean, his wasn't really, to me, a onside kick thing, even though it did happen on an onside kick.
Yeah.
I think that's the more dangerous play. When you have people that are out there looking for better, lack of better words, blood almost, because they're just trying to do anything they can to get the ball back.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So
I think progress. I mean, if you're going to be serious about player safety, I think this is probably a step forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just thought it was interesting to see that they're looking at changing that, and good for the NFL. They need to work on player safety and get that taken care of.
Yeah,
you know, it's good for the long term. It's good for the long term for the game.
I agree, and for its players. I think that's something that we'll probably address as the summer goes on too. Take a look at some generalities. We've had other penalty rule changes, which is going to change the way it's coached or that it should be coached. And so, you know, we have some topics to talk about this summer. They're going to affect the game overall and not just Kansas City, but we're going to delve into those as well. And if you guys have things that you want us to talk about, we are seriously at this point in the season, post-draft, trying to take a look at what we're doing that's working really well and you guys are enjoying, and if there's something that you'd like to see us do. So that's one of them, is take a little bit wider angle at some of this. So we hope that you're enjoying it so far, and we're going to continue it. And please give us as much feedback as you can, anywhere that you know how to get us. Saw another voicemail come in. We're going to get to those when we have a critical mass where we can do a show on it. So keep those coming at 913-777-4457, as well as all the iTunes stuff, and hit us on Twitter. Thank you all for your time. Hope you enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.